You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom-targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our guest, Dr. Bill Rawls. He's an MD, author of The Cellular Wellness Solution. The website is vitalplan.com, I believe, where there's a herbal and natural supplements store. And patients who are listening, Intelligent Medicine listeners, can use discount code INTELMED20 for 20% off their first Vital Plan product order. How do people enter this world of herbal medicine? Because there's so many products out there. There's different philosophies about herbs. Some people believe, like, just use one thing at a time. Do not use combinations. Because, it gets confusing, one's going to push you in one direction, another's going to push you in a different direction. And then there's traditional Chinese medicine, which often uses a suite of many different herbs, kind of like a symphony of herbal effects, each supporting another. What is your opinion on that?
Well, as long as you stay within certain parameters, it's hard to do wrong with herbs, and you can really start it out and do it any way that you like to. When I look at herbs, there's a spectrum that starts all the way at food and culinary herbs, and the opposite end of that spectrum are herbs with strong drug-like properties. And that's the end I stay away from mostly. Mm-hmm.
What would be examples of that?
A lot of things that you might hear about, like craton, some things like that. These are herbs that have strong drug-like properties, and they can have side effects. They can have the same kinds of issues. Moving a little bit down from that would be something like St. John's wort that acts very much like a serotonin reuptake inhibitor, like Prozac or Zoloft. But it's still, it has a lot more side effects because it has a specific targeted effect. Mm-hmm. And these are the phytochemicals in the plant that act like our chemical messengers. So some of them do have more of a drug-like effect. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at herbs.
One of the knocks on St. John's wort is that it may have some drug interference effects, that it may work on the cytochrome P450 system, which accelerates the metabolism of certain drugs, breaks them down so that the medications that you're taking, if you co-administer drugs with them, that they will be less effective. And then there's also this notion that, you don't want to take possibly an antidepressant and St. John's wort because there's an additive effect, and maybe that'll be pushing you too much in the wrong direction.
Correct. So just a little bit further down from that, herbs with sedative properties like passion flower, you're taking them more for that sedative effect maybe, or like chamomile tea before you go to bed at night, but it's still going to have a little bit of a drug-like effect. So what I'm most interested in are drugs or herbs that really don't have any drug-like effect. Mm-hmm. And what these herbs are doing is protecting our cells from function and balancing our stress hormones. So one common category that people start out with are adaptogens that are technically the center of that whole category. And why they're great is because you can take them and it really has a low probability of causing side effects or any kind of undesirable effects. So the adaptogens are a good place to start. And there are a lot of great adaptogens. One of my favorite is rhodiola. Ashwagandha is great for balancing stress. Our medicinal mushrooms like reishi and cordyceps are exceptionally good adaptogens. And they're also known as immune modulators. They balance immune system functions. But these herbs also have some antimicrobial properties that I think are really valuable. And then outside of that, there are herbs that aren't classified as adaptogens, but still have some really wonderful effects, like turmeric. Everybody knows that one. Mm-hmm. Really wonderful anti-inflammatory. It doesn't do as good for reducing stress hormones, so it's not defined as an adaptogen. But still, hey, who doesn't want those kind of effects every day? Hawthorn, great for balancing cardiac functions. So another one that's not an adaptogen, but still a great herb that I call kind of an everyday herb that I think anybody could take for benefit. But then we get into herbs with stronger antimicrobial properties. And kind of the primary ones that I took were Japanese knotweed, cat's claw,
andrographis. That's a source of resveratrol, is it not? Knotweed?
Yes, it is. Excellent. And that's the thing, you know, we take these herbs for their antimicrobial properties, but mm-hmm. it turns out that they also just have some wonderful adaptogenic properties too. Some of them do have an effect of balancing stress hormones. Resveratrol is known for enhancing our vascular system. Mm-hmm. It also has some nice antimicrobial properties itself, but Japanese knotweed contains that and a whole spectrum of other kinds of beneficial chemicals. Chinese skullcap is one of my favorite herbs.
Scutellaria.
It's a great antimicrobial, yep. but it's a wonderful immune modulator. It balances immune functions. And that's really important because, you know, if your immune system is overactive, then that can be destructive. So we want to often bring that down a notch. And these herbs can help us do that while they're suppressing this microbe activity at the same time, which is really wonderful.
When it comes to blood sugar control, you know, there's a lot of talk about herbs that help to balance blood sugar, that help the tens of millions of Americans who have metabolic syndrome or insulin resistance, or potentially, you know, could help curb cravings or appetite. What's your take on those?
You know, there are specific herbs that we've defined that are very good for helping with blood sugar control, like banama and others. Cinnamon, everybody hears about. But when I was researching the book, I found an article that they had defined that well over 100 herbs that are commonly used have some anti-diabetic effects. And that includes some that I just mentioned, mm-hmm. Rhodiola, Japanese knotweed. Some of these same herbs have beneficial effects. Sometimes that is helping to normalize insulin levels in various ways. Sometimes it's actually protecting cells from excessive carbohydrate consumption. So the herbs are doing a lot of different things. Now, none of them are going to be as potent as the drugs. You know, metformin is kind of the standard drug that everybody
uses. Which actually is derived from an herb, is it not, originally?
It is. And it is an exception, an unusual exception. So most
goat's
of
rue,
the time...
Is it goat's rue that it...
Goat's rue, that's right. Yeah. So, you know, most of the time when you pull a single chemical from an herb, you lose the function. You really lose out on something, and it's better to take the whole herb. Mm. But this is a rare case where goat's rue actually has some pretty significant toxicity. So we actually did well by removing that substance from goat rue and taking it directly.
Interesting. So what you're saying is that we have to kind of get our heads around a different concept, which is that herbs have a what's called a pleiotropic effect. In medicine, that means that there's a multiplicity of effects and not like a laser-like, very targeted effect, which is the ideal paradigm for drugs. You know, drugs are supposed to be really cleanly acting on one system and, you know, they don't want adjacent effects because those are usually undesirable.
Yeah, it's true. You know, when we look at a pharmaceutical, we are looking for that targeted effect, and the primary strategy is to affect some pathway in the body, either an enzyme or a receptor or something that has a suppressive or augmenting effect on a particular pathway. So, you know, what our herbs or what our pharmaceuticals are designed for are to suppress manifestations of chronic illness. So the primary manifestations of chronic illness are symptoms, inflammation, and hormone imbalances. So what we're doing with the herbs is very different from that. What, you know, we're very specifically addressing cellular stress. And that's the key to really overcoming any kind of chronic illness. All chronic illnesses are associated with cellular stress, every single one of them. We have different cells in the body stress different ways, so we have different illnesses, but the cornerstone is always cellular stress. So what healing is the ability of our cells to recover from stress. So the first thing you have to do to induce healing is to reduce cellular stress. And that gets kind of like taking the balls and chain off of the cells that they can actually start doing what they're designed to do, which is repairing and flourishing. So pharmaceuticals really don't have any capacity to reduce cellular stress. That's what the herbs are doing that makes them very different than a pharmaceutical. But it's also something you can use them concomitantly, you know, because they have two totally different purposes. When somebody has symptoms or they're really in an unstable phase of illness, the pharmaceuticals can be very valuable for stabilizing that illness and keeping that person from dying or at least putting them in a better place. But then you add in the herbs and lifestyle and diet, and then you start addressing those cellular stress factors, and you start to actually induce healing in the individual. And the two working together can be really extraordinary.
Some popular herbal combinations are for acute infections, you know, cold remedies, flu remedies, things to take if you feel like you're coming down with something. What are some of your go-tos if you feel like you're under the weather?
Yeah, the common go-tos are things like echinacea and elderberry. And, you know, those are really nice herbs for acute viral infections. They have really good antiviral properties, but they're also immune stimulants. So you have to be very careful about chronic use.
Protection or prophylaxis.
Yeah, you don't want to take those round the clock, just like for a few days or weeks while you're in the middle of a viral illness. You know, they actually found that during COVID, people were getting overstimulated and actually worsening their condition with elderberry and echinacea. So I don't use those herbs quite as much because there's so much value in the herbs that I mentioned. Andrographis is one of the best antivirals we know, but it's also an immune modulator. So you don't have to worry about that effect of overstimulating the immune system. Chinese skullcap, excellent antiviral. Japanese knotweed, excellent antiviral. You know, that was an experience I had. I'd been familiar with all of these herbs from this, from taking them for years, actually. With what I defined as chronic Lyme disease. So when 2020 came around and suddenly SARS virus and COVID were staring us in the face and everyone was going, well, we don't have vaccines, we don't have drugs, good luck. I started looking for herbs that might have activity against the SARS virus.
Me too. Yeah.
And there was a fair amount of literature out there because—
Bill, you can get in trouble for that because if you start talking about herbs,
instead
of Paxlovid, you know, and you start writing about it, you actually can, you know, they can lower the boom on you.
you know, I was going to write big articles about all this, and my staff said, you can't do that.
Don't
you
go
just
there.
Can't
That's
do
like
that.
That's like the third
so
rail.
I kept it
the,
to myself.
Yeah, exactly.
But there was good research looking at the previous SARS epidemics. They were looking at herbs that might have antiviral properties
sure. yep.
against SARS virus in general. So we had some upfront information that was already there. And of course, you know, they're not going to be curative. What we're looking for is something that attenuates the response,
yeah, exactly.
that shortens the length and severity of an illness. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, herbs that were at the top of the list were Chinese skullcap, Japanese knotweed, mm-hmm. and agraffis, among others like licorice and ginger and others. But I was surprised to find those same herbs that I had been using for chronic Lyme disease, wow, they have activity against the SARS virus also. And that was pretty fascinating.
Yeah, there's so many different categories that we can talk about, but I wanted to focus on one of the most utilized herbs these days, which is berberine. Are you a fan of berberine?
I think berberine has a lot of really nice properties. Now, berberine is a phytochemical from other herbs. So we find it in golden seal, coptis, and quite a number of different herbs. So it is a single chemical. It has some really nice properties in that it's good for balancing gut flora. It reduces overactivity of pathogens in the gut, without disrupting normal flora. But the interesting thing is it's been found to actually have some beneficial properties for metabolic syndrome, for also lowering cholesterol, helping out with blood sugar, and a variety of different things. So it has a range of benefits. And yes, it's one that we use in a gut product,
yep.
but a lot of people also just take it for the berberine itself.
There's also, and in your book, you talk about protocols for sexual health. And, you know, I have to say, I bring some skepticism to this field because there's a lot of products out there that are, you know, low T products that are supposed to be, you know,
yeah.
ED products that I think kind of betray the trust of the consumer, because when they don't work and it's a disappointment, you know, people, men especially, are kind of demoralized. But I think there is something to be said for the subtle, real effects of certain herbs on sexual vitality and performance and libido. So what did you write about there?
Well, you know, it is a topic that seems to be on a lot of people's minds, and we seem to be in an epidemic of low testosterone. But you have to look at the causes again, and, you know, high insulin levels associated with excessive carbohydrate consumption have a negative effect on testosterone. All the plastic residues and chemicals in our environment have an estrogenic effect and suppress testosterone.
Yep.
So I think the first thing there is we need to do a better job as a society of addressing these issues. When people look for solutions, the top solution is, well, let's just get on a regimen of testosterone. And that works, but the problem with it is anytime you take a hormone, you're going to suppress natural endogenous production of hormone. Mm-hmm. And that can be a real issue, that people not only become essentially habituated to that medication, but it just works less well through time.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been demonstrated with virtually every hormone, growth hormone, testosterone, everything. So what the herbs are doing, and there's some, you know, this is a category of adaptogens that are more stimulating. There's epimedium, there is raponicum, various different adaptogens that have found to affect the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis in such a way that it's basically normalizing function and causing the brainstem, the hypothalamus, to increase our endogenous testosterone production. So with a really good quality herb, a regimen of herbs, you can do some wonderful things. Now, if somebody is eating a terrible diet and, you know, exposed to all kinds of chemical toxins and is really has poor health habits, it's not going to help them. But if they are focusing on those other things, the adaptogens can make a difference. And then there is this time of year when it's basically raining testosterone in the form of pine pollen. Pine pollen actually has chemicals that are very close to testosterone in them, and some people take that as a supplement. Wow. I like the adaptogens better because I think anytime you take a hormone, you can suppress a hormone. So I tend to stay away from that.
So I don't know, if you want to get romantic, just walk through a pine forest in the springtime. And
there you go. Okay. Take a big deep breath.
Another big category is things that enhance cognitive function. You know, so many people are being graded on performance, you know, students, people at work, you know, trying to enhance their productivity. And then there's the aging population, people who are concerned about waning memory. Is there any credence to the notion that herbal support can help?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I think that's a better solution than anything else that people can do. Many herbs, you know, we're talking about cells. And, you know, again, that target effect on a drug may be specific pathway, specific symptom. But when you take an herb, you're affecting every system in your body. For example, I found recently that milk thistle, one that we recommend for liver function, it protects liver cells, actually protects our bone cells and is good for preventing osteoporosis. Who would have thought? So when we look at our herbs, there are protecting cells throughout the body, including our brain cells. And that's not only from free radicals and other things that might potentially cause issues in the brain, but also reactivation of dormant microbes that I think the accumulating evidence is suggesting stronger and stronger that they're there. So many herbs have a positive function either by protecting cells directly or directly affecting chemicals in the brain. For example, lion's mane, which is one of our adaptogenic mushrooms, actually increases choline. Bacopa is an herb that increases choline. So we have various different herbs that can really have a definite protective effect. Ashwagandha, the adaptogen that I mentioned, is well known for protecting brain function. Gotu Kola has been used in India for thousands of years to protect brain function. And then there's just basic turmeric. In India eats, you know, like a gram of turmeric every day. Mm-hmm. And India enjoys some of the lower rates of Alzheimer's in the world. And it's thought to be attributed to the fact that everybody does turmeric every day.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. So do you have any preferences as to the form of herbs? Because, you know, we have a bewildering array of delivery systems. We have tinctures. We've got teas. We've got capsules. You know, all manner of formulas. What is the best way to take herbal formulas?
Yeah, it's all about concentration of phytochemistry. And the fact of the matter is at least half of products out there don't have a high enough concentration of phytochemistry to do anything for you. Mm-hmm. So you really have to use a high-grade product. Outside of teas or growing it in the yard and eating the herb directly, there are three main kinds of commercial preparations. So the first one would be a whole herb powder. And most of the time when you go in and you see an herbal product and it's in capsules, it's a powder in capsules, that's what you're getting. And generally you won't pay that much for it because what they do is basically take the plant and grind it into a powder and put it in a capsule. So what you're getting in that capsule is mostly fiber. Not very much of the actual phytochemistry of the plant. And that's why they're not very expensive, but you know, you kind of get what you pay for. Kind of the next thing up would be tinctures. So pulling the chemicals out of the plant with water and alcohol can give you a higher concentration of phytochemicals. And that depends on how much plant you put into the water and alcohol to extract. So the final product, they take the, you know, the plant parts out of it, and you get that water alcohol tincture. And that's a pretty nice way to take herbs. It's not desirable to some people because if you're taking a lot of herbal supplements, you get a fair amount of alcohol. Hmm. And some of them can be really bitter, strongly bitter. So the next level, and what we're, how we're producing most of our products, is standardized extracts. So this is also a powder and a capsule, and it looks just like that whole herb powder, except what this is they take a water alcohol tincture, spray it on a surface, dry off the water and alcohol, collect the powder, so it's just the pure chemistry of the plant, and put that into a capsule. So the phytochemistry of that capsule is typically at least 10 times higher than a whole herb powder. And to find that, you know, on a product, what you should see is they will name the herb like Chinese skullcap. They'll give the scientific name, and they will say, it will say on the bottle, extract standardized to such and such phytochemical. They typically pick one of the chemicals to use as a marker. And then they'll give the milligram quantity. So that is the sign of a better quality product. So if you get on a website and you're reading about all the wonderful things that the herbs are doing and all this science, but you can't find the ingredients anywhere.
Yeah, it's like that's a proprietary formula.
You're probably getting an inferior product.
Yeah, it's a proprietary formula. It's like our secret sauce, you know, that we're not going to share the details of with you. Okay, and then what about safety considerations? Because, you know, this is great hue and cry that herbs, the people are indiscriminately taking herbal products from sketchy sources, and, you know, they're ending up in the hospital with abnormal liver function. The medical journals celebrate each case with great fanfare that they've discovered that this or that or the other herbal formula is, you know, should be taken off the market and is a hazard to people. So I think that scares consumers. So how do you avoid those pitfalls?
Yeah. You know, I think that's fortunately, that's a pretty small part of the supplement industry, but unscrupulous players are out there. And a lot of the time they use a lot of marketing hype. They build websites that are so remarkably convincing. But if you can't find anything about the products or the ingredients, again, that's a huge red flag. The more you can find about the company's standards, the better. For example, our company, you know, when we are purchasing extracts, you can't grow everything you need in one place. So you typically have to source it from around the world. And so when we source an ingredient, we're, you know, picking it from a reputable supplier that we know the source of the ingredient. And it comes with what's called a certificate of analysis, which means that that supplier has hired a third party to test that substance to make sure that it is the right plant, that it doesn't have chemical or biological contaminants, and that it's the concentration that we're looking for. And so that's a reassurance that you're getting something decent. But some companies like ours don't stop there. We always get a sample from the lot that we're buying and send it to our separate independent lab.
So in effect, you
to make
check.
Sure
it's
that
like
certificate
trust,
of
verify
analysis
you
was
because
real.
You're going to get a certificate from the company, and then you say thank you very much. That's very compelling, but we're going to do our own checking to verify.
Yeah. And then we test a couple more times during the manufacturing process just to make sure that everything is being mixed properly. So earlier you asked me about whether to do single herbs or formulas. Yep. I like formulas because you get a synergy between the herbs that you just, it seems to be missing with just a single herb alone. And there's maybe a slight art, but no real magic into pulling herbs together into formulas. There are a lot of herbs that are complementary, but you do seem to get a more when you take that combination of herbs.
And what are some of your favorite offerings at vitalplan.org? What are some of the options?
Well, you know, our focus has been helping people with various kinds of chronic illnesses that are really not being helped by the mainstream community, like fibromyalgia, like chronic Lyme disease, looking at more of a restorative approach. So our kind of main product is something called the Restore Kit that I combine a range of antimicrobial and adaptogenic herbs along with nutrients and other factors that promote cellular health. And that's combined into a program that we carry through people through a process that we're helping them with diet and detoxification and everything else in their life. So that's kind of our main product that is, it's helped a lot of people. So far, about 10,000 people have used it, and a high percentage of those people have gotten results. It takes time. It usually takes about 3 to 6 months before people really see that transition that we're looking for. But it does happen. But then complementary products, like we make a brain product with some of the ingredients that I mentioned, and a joint product for just kind of rounding out the protocol for people that have needs that go beyond that main thing.
You have a stress and sleep, you have a gut health and immune defense product I see here, and a sort of a daily supplement. You also have a mitochondrial support product. What does that entail?
Correct. You know, it's labeled mitochondrial support. Mitochondria are tricky, you know, and I think a lot of people are looking at, well, can we bombard the mitochondria with NADH, which is hard to stabilize, or various kinds of ingredients like coenzyme Q10, PQQ, and others. And I found that they don't do that much. So our product is more focused on reducing cellular stress. Mm-hmm. It's glutathione, NAC, some coenzyme Q10, and a few other ingredients with the idea of, you know, let's optimize the mitochondrial function as much as we can, but let's do things to also decrease free radical stress and other stresses that are going on inside the cells. When cells don't have to work as hard, when they're not stressed, they don't use energy as much, so they don't tax their mitochondria quite as hard. So instead of trying to tweak the mitochondria, let the cell tweak the mitochondria, take the stress off the cell. So it's a little bit different angle, and I found that it just works better.
So great. So I must commend you because, the book, The Cellular Wellness Solution, goes beyond merely a promotional piece for the Vital Plan store. You're very generous with your information. It's obvious that you put a tremendous amount of effort into it with literally hundreds of references. And so it's scholarly, but accessible, very encyclopedic because you talk about so many herbs. We just want to mention that if you want to investigate the Vital Plan store, Intelligent Medicine listeners can use discount code INTELMED20. That's INTELMED20 for 20% off their first Vital Plan product order. You can sample the products at vitalplan.org. Is that correct? And click on the store.
Vitalplan.com.
But get the book because it would be a great addition to your library of books about natural products because it's really a very thoughtful and balanced look at the world of herbal medicine. So kudos to
you
because clearly this has been your magnum opus, the culmination of many years of research and experience in this field. So great. I mean, again, I commend you for being a thoughtful physician who kind of explored the limitations of conventional medicine, underwent some personal experiences, and had the flexibility and adaptability and humbleness to say that maybe we should go beyond the boundaries of conventional medicine and explore some new alternatives. It, you know, for doctors who are indoctrinated in medical orthodoxy, it takes a little bit of effort to achieve escape velocity from the traditional paradigm. So,
yeah,
great stuff.
Well, thank you.
Thanks very much for joining us. That was Bill Rawls, spelled R-A-W-L-S. I hope our paths cross soon. Thanks very much for joining us, Dr. Rawls. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover intelligent medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.